It's time to get inside the Giants huddle.
Huddle up, huddle up, huddle up.
On Giants.com.
Here we go.
And the Giants mobile
app. Get them in there, let's go.
Part of the Giants podcast network.
Welcome to the newest edition of the Giants Huddle podcast. John Schmelk with you. Today's guest, executive director of the Reese's Senior Bowl. He's Jim Nagy. But first, a reminder, you can find the Giants Huddle podcast and the Giants podcast network at Giants.com/podcast, the Giants mobile app, and your favorite podcast platforms. Now we welcome in Jim Nagy straight from Mobile, already getting ready. I saw your tweet, Jim, for the 2022 Reese's Senior Bowl. No rest for the weary, I guess, my friend. Welcome. I hope this draft process and what I'm sure was a really weird year treated you as well as it possibly could have.
Yeah, John, thanks for having me back on. It was a great draft process. Obviously, having the Senior Bowl this year during kind of the throes of COVID took a lot. So it was a stressful year, but we're glad that we're able to have the event this year and really do it safely. And, draft week's always great to see all our guys get drafted and them realize their dreams. And we had 41% of the draft came through Mobile this year. So we were really, really pleased with that number. And like you said, now we're on to 2022. Got a lot of work to do.
And you always, Jim, have a handful of guys sneak into that first round. And one of them this year was Kadarius Toney. And he goes to the New York Giants at 20th overall. What was it like working with Kadarius? I know he's from the Mobile area. Over the course of the week when he was there, I know, you know, he wasn't active necessarily every day that he was in Mobile. But what was that experience like working with Kadarius and him with your staff and the coaching staffs for that week in Mobile?
Yeah, this has been a long time scouting on Kadarius. I saw him play back in high school when he was at Blount High School here in Mobile playing quarterback. So, and then even prior to this job, when I was working for the Seahawks, I remember seeing Kadarius on the practice field in Gainesville as a true freshman and just saying, I mean, he was the most dynamic player on the field then. And that was a receiver group that had Van Jefferson and Tyree Cleveland and Freddie Swain, all these guys that are playing in the NFL. So it's not like it was a group devoid of talent. I've been scouting Kadarius a long time. It was great having him here for the week. He had three really good days of practice and then went airborne on a play and came down on his lower back on Thursday. So, you know, really the only day he missed was game day, but really put on a show the other 3 days. He's a phenomenal athlete. I thought he was the best change of direction athlete in the draft. I thought he was like the second most dynamic player in the draft behind Jalen Waddle at Alabama. And that's pretty high praise because Jalen's elite. I mean, Jalen's going to be a great pro. So it was a great pick for the Giants. I know that Dave Gettleman doesn't typically trade back. So when he traded back, I thought, and then to get Kadarius, I mean, I thought that was great and stockpile picks for next year. And I put a tweet out about that, you know, like I really felt like that Dave nailed the draft this year. I thought he did as good a job as anybody in the league at kind of maneuvering around and adding pieces and what KT is going to bring to that offense. I think it's going to be great for Daniel Jones. I'm excited to see Daniel's development in year three. I mean, finally a second year with the same coordinator, right? And then you get a guy to Kadarius and you got Saquon coming back. I mean, that's a really exciting offense to think about what that's going to look like come September.
Yeah, not to mention adding Kenny Golladay in free agency. Gives you that big contested catch guy to complement him. So why don't we stick with Daniel then? How do you think the presence of a guy like Toney that can give Daniel some easy yards, right? 1 yard pass can turn into a 20-yard gain with a guy like Kadarius Toney really easily. So how does a guy like Toney, you think, help Daniel Jones and help accelerate his development?
Yeah, just what you said, John. I mean, he's a guy you can get it out quick to and he can make yards. He's really good with the ball in his hands. I know everyone's kind of looking for that's kind of the new wave receiver. Everyone's looking for that Deebo Samuel type of player. And Kadarius, what made Kadarius different from the other slots in this draft, I'll say this too, like the Elijahs, the Rondell Moores, Kadarius is 5'11 and a half. You know, Rondell Moore was 5'7 and Elijah was 5'9 and a half. So he's a bigger guy. He's 5'11 and a half, and he's over 190 pounds. So you can play him inside. You can play him outside. He can get open quick. So if Daniel gets in trouble, he's a guy that can uncover and he can get the ball out too and avoid sacks. They can be really creative with him. They can run a lot of jet sweep stuff. He's got such good lower body contact balance and power that you could line him up in the backfield and swing it to him. It's just how creative you can get to him. He's an awesome chess piece, and he's a guy that I think Daniel's going to get a lot of use out of this year.
You know, it's funny. We weren't at the Senior Bowl this year, unfortunately, but we were able to watch all the tape at practice. We watched NFL Network. And what kind of drew me to Tony is that, you know, when I get to the Senior Bowl, I'm just off the season. I don't know anything about these guys yet. So I'm really seeing them for the first time when I watch them in Mobile. And I watched that first practice, and I'm like, wow, this guy, he makes contested catches. He's physical. And I looked up his numbers. I'm like, wow, he's only 5'11 and a half and 190-something pounds. He just seems like a guy, when you watch him, that he plays even bigger than what his listed numbers are.
No doubt. No doubt. You know, there's some – he's got as good a highlight reel as anyone in this class. I mean, some of the stuff he does after contact for a guy his size, it totally belies the measurables for sure. What Kadarius needs to learn to do sometimes is live for another day. Like, he'll seek out contact, you know, for a guy that can avoid it so much, because when he can stick his foot in the dirt, like in terms of the ability to decelerate and slam on the brakes and make people miss and avoid, he has that. And sometimes you watch him and he just would rather run over somebody. So I think that speaks to his toughness and his competitiveness. He's a pretty unique player from just like a physical substance standpoint. Like, some guys just have it and some guys don't. There's a lot of guys Kadarius' size that get bounced around on contact quite a bit, and he doesn't. He powers through it. He's a pretty unique player.
How do you think the Giants should scheme up their offense to get the most out of him as this, you know, quote unquote offensive weapon?
Yeah, just move him around. I wouldn't leave him in one place. Again, he's got the speed to play outside. He's got the quickness to play inside. And then he's got all the other stuff, you know, the change of direction, the make miss ability to just, you know, run him on jet sweeps or you know, those sorts of things. Just get the ball to him quick and let him make plays. You know, he's not a guy that he's a guy you can just do a lot with. So I think he really opens up the playbook. I think they can be really creative with him. He gives them a different skill set than a guy like Galladay or even Sterling Shepard. I think that they've got some really complementary pieces. It's to me, that's why I love the construction of this Giants offense, because they're all very different.
You look at some of the reports on Tony, and there were some questions, Jim, about maybe some immaturity based on some of the stuff that happened in college. He has some outside interests, but you deal with these guys one-on-one. You see them up close with the coaches. What was it like dealing with them on a person-to-person basis from a maturity level during his week in Mobile?
Yeah, it was great. You know, I think everyone knows the wide receiver position can sometimes lend itself to being a little high maintenance.
I don't know what you're talking about, Jim.
I'm sure you have. I'm sure you haven't dealt with that, John.
No.
But KT was really low maintenance for us. Being a Mobile guy, sometimes there's distractions for those guys that there aren't for the other players. And I think a little bit of it was we had the bubble this year. And so, you know, family and friends were really, really weren't allowed to enter the bubble. So I think that kept some distractions at a minimum. But in terms of our staff, I mean, he was the go-to guy for NFL Network, ESPN. All the media wanted a piece of Kadarius. And he was great with our PR staff and doing all that. He was great behind the scenes with his teammates. He's got a great energy about him. I think you'll love being around him. He just really has some juice to his personality. And I think that's what Chris Pettit brought up in their interview, was here they were late at night, you know, after 11 o'clock, and they'd been through, you know, half the roster basically in terms of interviewing that team that night. And then Kadarius comes in the very last interview and he's just wired up, ready to go. And that's, and again, the Giants not only had been through that process all night, so had Kadarius.
Yeah.
You know, he'd had a beatdown of about 15 teams before the Giants to interview with that night. So that's who he is. I think you're going to love being around him. He's just got a great presence about him. I think you're going to love him.
Can you confirm? You said you've watched him play a long time. Can that dude really throw the ball 60 yards from one knee?
I don't know about one knee, but, you know, I know his quarterback trainer, David Morris down here from QB Country, who also has trained Daniel Jones since eighth grade. And he's told me Kadarius can throw it over 70 from his feet. I don't know about from a knee, but he said, he's like, Jim, I really thought that if someone had given Kadarius a chance to play quarterback, he could end up being Lamar Jackson.
Wow. Well, I'll tell you what, Jason Garrett can have some fun with that, with some trick plays, no doubt about it. Final question. You're a former scout, Jim. If you were putting writing your report for your general manager on Kadarius Toney, where are the areas that you think he needs to focus on now to vault himself up to the player that he is now, to become truly great and become a perennial all pro in the NFL?
Yeah, I think the very first thing would be self-preservation. Learning, you know, when you're working in the slot, learning when to get down and avoid some contact and just stay healthy for 16 games or 17 games now. I think that would be the biggest thing. And obviously, coming to an NFL offense, the route tree is going to be a little different. They're going to ask different things of him in terms of route running. But to me, when I evaluate college route runners, I always look at what they're capable of physically, not how they run routes in college, but what is the body physically capable of doing. And as we talked about, his ability to stop, start, and change direction in a short area, there is nothing this guy can't do from a route running perspective. So he eventually should become one of the league's better route runners just because he is so shifty and he's so explosive in and out of breaks. But those would probably be the two biggest things. Everywhere else, he's a really clean prospect.
All right, let's go back to Daniel Jones for a second, as you mentioned that you're close to Daniel. He'll be down there for your Hall of Fame stuff at the end of June. We'll talk about that later on. And he's somebody that did really well at the Senior Bowl. He's had an up and down first couple of years, change of offensive coordinator, like you mentioned. What do you think, Jim, is the next step of progress for him as a quarterback, being in that same offense for the second year and really, again, trying to establish himself as a long-term, you know, above average, high quality starting quarterback in the National Football League?
I think the continuity is huge. I think, and not just specifically to Daniel, but I think as a whole, as a league, we're really being a little harshly critiquing the quarterback position right now. Some of the young guys right now, I mean, Tua last year and Drew Lock in Denver and Daniel, of course. I think part of it is the year that a guy like Justin Herbert had last year. I mean, setting the bar so high. I mean, that was what Justin did was phenomenal. But I think the continuity of having a coordinator for 2 years will be big. You know, not only did they have a coordinator change last year, they had COVID, no offseason. He loses Saquon. I mean, again, those aren't excuses to me, John. Those are reasons. You know, those are reasons why Daniel didn't make that next year jump. So he's, you know, we all know how smart Daniel is and competitive and how he works. So when you have those intangibles and then everything else comes together, some continuity on the coaching side and better pieces around you with Galladay, Saquon coming back, Kadarius, and some of the upgrades on the offensive line. I mean, they've gotten better on the offensive line since his rookie year. So he won't be getting hit as much. He'll know where to go with the football better. So I would expect a big jump from Daniel this year. I really would.
Well, and, you know, speaking of the offensive line, the Giants had a player down there with you last year, Matt Paird, who could be competing for that starting right tackle spot. What did he show you at the Senior Bowl, and what do you think the upside is for him, Jim?
Yeah, when we had Matt in the game, I thought that it was a great third-round pick for them because in terms of length and feet, I really thought the guy had a chance to be a starting left tackle. And you usually have to draft those guys in the first, you know, 50 picks to get a legit starting left tackle in the league. They go fast. So for Matt to be there towards the end of the third round, I thought was, you know, could potentially be a steal. Now they drafted Andrew Thomas as well. But when I watched those two players, I really thought Parrott fit better on the left side and Thomas fit better on the right side, but I'm not second guessing what they're doing there in New York. I just thought from a physical standpoint, the two guys, you could switch them. But again, that's two young tackles that they're building around, and I know they've added pieces on the inside. So I would expect a big jump from those tackles as well. I'd be excited about that combo as well.
Yeah, and Pierce, one of those guys with really long arms, right? He just kind of had to put on a little bit of weight and get a little bit stronger. But all the physical attributes you would want out of a tackle in the NFL.
Absolutely. When his length and those feet, I mean, they're hard to get around. At the bare minimum, those guys are hard to get around. So, yeah, getting stronger was big for Matt and filling out his big frame. And, again, he's highly intelligent, so that's not going to be an issue. You got a really smart guy who's really long and has great feet. So and really good overall athleticism, not just the feet. I mean, the guy can bend and he can move laterally and get out in space. So, again, usually when you have smart, competitive guys, I mean, they're going to hit their ceiling. So I would expect a big jump from Matt this year.
Limited Giants season tickets are on sale now for the 2021 season. In addition to ticket savings, membership benefits include access to exclusive events, experiences, pre-sales, and more. You can lock in your seat starting at just $100. Call 888-NYG-1925 or visit giants.com/tickets for more information. All right, let's jump back to this year's class. Aaron Robinson, the Giants' third-round pick. He was there with you in Mobile this year. And, boy, the one thing that struck me watching him in those one-on-one drills during the week in practice, Jim, what a physical player sometimes maybe too physical down the field, but a guy that's not shy about bumping and running and really getting in those receivers' grills, even in, you know, a really one-on-ones for DBs are really hard. I don't think people realize how hard they are, but he really took that challenge and accepted it.
Yeah, again, I sound like a broken record, but Aaron was one of my favorite players in the draft, honestly. Like, in just in terms of watching this film, he was so fun to watch. You obviously, he started off at Bama, just plays with a ton of swagger. I mean, you can see it on the tape. Like, when he makes plays, you know, he just got something about him. He's really good at the nickel, but I think that he's got some position flexibility. I almost compare him a little bit to Minka Fitzpatrick in the sense that I think he could play outside, and I think he could play safety because he's such an aggressive player and such a good tackler. But again, I think he's going to come in, and I think he could start immediately at the nickel. I just love his confidence. I love his aggression. I love his finishing ability. So to get a guy like that in the third round, I really thought at one point Aaron could end up being like a late one. I know Daniel Jeremiah had him mocked in the late first round at one point, and Daniel's a good friend of mine. I respect the work he does, but I kind of saw that being the potential spot for him. So for him to go all the way back to the third, great value to add him with like Darnay Holmes. I mean, you've got some really nice pieces, young pieces in that back end now.
Yeah, we had a chance to talk to Coach Shannon, who was his DC at UCF last year. He compared the Ontrell role, which I think kind of goes to your Minka Fitzpatrick thing, right? That guy that has the toughness to play a little bit of safety, but can also reduce down into the slot and play corner if you need him to.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I didn't do Ontrell when he was coming out, but yeah, that would make sense as well.
All right, you mentioned Darnay Holmes, by the way, and he was a guy that you did have at the Senior Bowl last year. He did practice and all that stuff. Your thoughts on him? How does he compare to Aaron? How do you think those guys can, you know, complement each other since both of them can play inside in that slot spot?
Yeah, they're different players. They're different nickels. Darnay's smaller, super quick, really good change of direction athlete, like mirroring routes inside, just mirroring and matching stuff at the break point. He's really sticky, can stay with people. Whereas Aaron's a bigger guy. He's bigger, he's longer, he's more physical. He'll beat you up a little more. So different styles, which I think could be a really cool thing depending on how they're deployed. Because if you mix those two guys up, those slots on the opposing team, you know, you kind of get used to going against a certain thing over the course of the game, and you can make your adjustments as you know, regardless of where you're playing, on the O-line or out on the perimeter. But they can change it up. It's almost like a pitcher with a good changeup. I mean, they can put Darnay on a guy, you know, for a series and then throw Aaron over there and mix it up. And to me, it's a really cool 1-2 punch.
Yeah, and that nickel spot, you have to do more than just cover. You have to blitz. You got to run support. You got to set the edge sometimes against pulling guards. I mean, there's a lot of different things you got to do. So how does Aaron, with his physicality, you think, you know, link in and fit in perfectly in terms of all the responsibilities that nickel corner has to have?
Yeah, John, that's a great point. I think the most underrated part of playing in the slot is the physicality element to it. You have to embrace it. You got to have a guy. He doesn't have to be the biggest guy, but he at least has to be a feisty guy. He's got to be someone that isn't willing to stick his face in there. And Aaron's more than willing to do that. So yeah, you brought up the blitzing. He's a really good blitzer. He can really close. He's got juice. So yeah, he's going to be a factor. He's going to be a factor against the run. There's no doubt.
And in terms of scheme fit, you see him mostly as a press man guy, or did you see enough of him in zone where you think he could contribute in that area as well?
Yeah, he can play both. He played a lot of off at UCF. And he does a really nice job reading routes. So, you know, and like I said, if you can close as a blitzer, you can close in coverage. And he does a nice job seeing things. He's got nice peripheral awareness for where route combinations are coming. And he's got that burst to jump route. So, and then he's big enough when you get him up on the line of scrimmage, he can beat you up with his physicality. So, yeah, I think he's pretty versatile in terms of scheme use.
All right, I will stick a cornerback just because it's the same position. Rodarius Williams, one of the Giants' sixth-round picks out of Oklahoma State. And you look at his experience, his number of starts, his production as a senior. I wonder if it wasn't for the fact that he's going to turn 25 in September, if he wouldn't have been a much earlier pick in this year's draft based on his performance.
Yeah, John, you nailed it. It was, you know, I do a lot of calling around after the draft and getting with guys in the league on why guys maybe fell. And yeah, it was just an age thing. And we knew that when we invited him, that age might cause him to Rodarius to slip a little bit, but you know, made a really nice jump as a senior, really nice jump. And when we invited him, I got on the phone with his DB coach at Oklahoma State. And, you know, really the focal point last offseason was just being more dialed in, right? Like the physical talent was all there, but just being more dialed in as a player. And you, and that showed up on tape. I mean, he finished it on the ball a lot better. When he was in phase to make a play, he made plays that he wasn't making the year before. So a big long body player out on the perimeter that is hard to throw over out there and then can finish. Again, I thought we had him in like the third, fourth round range on our board all fall. That's where we got him to. Over the summer, we had him in the sixth. So he made a really nice jump this year. So they've got a guy that can make their team in the sixth. Where did he go? In the sixth round? Is that right?
Yep.
Yeah. So in the sixth round, you got a guy that's going to make your roster. That's a big deal. And I think where the league's at right now in terms of the age, it probably hurts him. It probably hurt him a little bit. But, you know, he's going to play even if you get one really good contract out of him. I mean, in the sixth round, that's good value.
Absolutely. How about scheme fit for him? Is he someone that did mostly press man stuff in school? Was it his own guy? Can you use him in both? Where do you think and how do you think he fits usage wise?
Yeah, I think he can play out. I think he can play off because he does have instincts. His brother did too. Greedy had good instincts as well. You can tell they're two guys that probably grew up playing a lot of football. And he is so big and long that, yeah, obviously the press man projection is easy because of his body type. But no, he does some nice things in off man just because he sees the game well.
All right, let's go to Ellerson Smith. He was the Giants' other player that was in Mobile this year. And boy, if you want to like draw up a picture of a guy that looks like he should play edge, it's Ellerson Smith. And I know what Scott's always telling me, Jim, the first thing you want to see from a guy from the FCS level, does he dominate? And if you look at his production at Northern Iowa, you know, back from 2019, that was the conference did not play this year. He was a dominant player at the FCS level.
Yeah. You talk about first, you start with like the body type. And it's prototype in terms of, you know, length and proportion. You know, we have all these guys at weigh-ins and we take their body shot pictures. So like guys that weren't at the event, we can send that off to the team so they can take a look. This guy looks like $1 million now, John. Like wait till you see him out of training camp. I mean, he's probably going to be the best looking guy on your defense. But I think the underrated thing of Ellerson coming out of Northern Iowa is who he went up against on a daily basis. Like you can knock FCS level of competition because they're not always seeing a bunch of NFL players, but he went against Spencer Brown, the Bills' third round pick, every day for 4 years. And those two guys had great battles. And then they had those great battles in Mobile as well. They you know, butted heads a little bit in one-on-ones as well. But so he's probably further along than you would think most FCS guys would because he did have another high-end player going against. But he's long, he's explosive. You look at the test numbers, you know, high 30s vertical jump, you know, 10-foot-plus broad jump, you know, running well. So he's got all that stuff. Now it's just, you know, pass rush refinement, stringing moves together. We rushed him some inside during Senior Bowl week, and the one thing that he has is really good cross-face quickness. So, you know, I think you're going to get some versatility out of him in there eventually. I think they'll probably just let him play out on the edge for the first couple of years and get a feel out there and kind of develop him out there. But I could see him kicking inside because, you know, that lateral quickness to cross people up is really good. So, again, that was a really nice pick for where they got him. I know they've been trying to add the pass rush there in New York. And Ellerson's a guy that just with his physical gifts should be able to get in that rotation somewhere this year.
Yeah, I could see him being one of those DPRs, designated pass rushers early until he maybe gets a little stronger to set the edge on those early downs. How did he do? Because I know one thing Chris Pettit and Dave Gettleman mentioned in their post-draft press conference was that they were impressed with how he played against Iowa State when they played up in competition. How did he do against some of those Power 5 tackles in practice and during that week in Mobile when he had the opportunity to go up a step or two in competition?
Yeah, he had plenty of wins. I mean, you're not going to win them all. And I always say this, like if a D-line coach sees – if you put together – I tell agents this all the time. If your guy puts together like four or five good rushes over the course of the week, like he's going to make himself a lot of money because defensive line coaches are going to see that and say, you know what, I can get that out of him consistently. So, yeah, he had plenty of wins down here, and it was a really good tackle class. I mean, he was going against we had a lot of guys going those first three rounds. So he was going up against good people. And yeah, that Iowa State game was one that stood out for us in terms of, you know, that jump up and level of comp. And then coming down to Mobile, the big thing with a lot of these small school guys is, you know, are they overwhelmed by it? You know, do they get a little freaked out by the Bama helmet and the Clemson helmet and the guys they're going against? And I didn't notice that at all with Ellerson. He came ready to go and really competed at a high level all week.
And you had a similar situation 2 years ago with another guy the Giants drafted, O'Shane Ziminez, right? Coming from Old Dominion. I think, if I remember right, it was the first Old Dominion player drafted. I forget in how many years, but it was a really long time. And he's a guy that unfortunately had a shoulder injury last year, but the Giants still have pretty high hopes for him to develop as a pass rusher.
Yeah, I mean, he and Ellerson are similar in terms of that they need a little more refinement, but if they were ready to go, they would have went in the late first round. I mean, you don't get guys like Ellerson Smith and what he brings to the table physically. If he was a finished product, he would have been up there with Quiddy Pay and Jalen Phillips at the end of the first round. So, again, it's more of like a 2 or 3 year out thing with Ellerson. I think he'll contribute right away in some packages. But if you're the Giants, if you're Dave Gettleman and the staff and Joe Judge, I mean, you're excited about years 2 and 3 and what Ellerson can become with some development.
Yeah, and the Giants hope they get that out of X-Men this year. Don't miss it on your chance to experience a premier hospitality experience watching Giant games and world-class concerts in 2021 as a Giants suite partner. Limited full-season locations are available or place a deposit for individual games. Call 888-NYG-1925 or visit giants.com/suites for more information. I know Azeez Ojulari was not there in Mobile with you, but I know you did a lot of work on him for your great work on ESPN covering the draft. If you guys recognize Jim, by the way, that's where you've seen him. Does a great job with them covering the draft and leading up to the draft and stuff like that. Ojulari, man, like we were talking about him. You know, we have a group chat going during the draft once the Giants traded down to 20. And I know the medical stuff kind of came out, but we were like, all right, maybe Ojulari is an option for the Giants at 20. Then they get him in the second round after trading down to 50, pick up an extra 3 next year. I thought that was just an absolute steal given the production he had in the program he played in the conference that he competed against.
Yeah, 100%. I agree with you, John. One of the best value picks in the draft. Really like Azeez's game, and it did. It came down to the medical. I think the knee was kind of flagged. And, you know, this was a different year. I think teams handled injuries a little more harshly this year than they have in years past. And just lack of exposure to the players through the process. You know, hurt a guy like Azeez, you know, being a junior. But yeah, you put on the tape, he is such a darn good football player. And you can point to the power that he plays with or the closing speed to the quarterback that he has. But to me, it's the instincts. This dude knows how to play football. I mean, his ability to see and feel blocks and where he fits, I mean, and where the ball's going. I mean, this dude is a really instinctive football player. I thought of that group of Quiddy Pay and Jalen Phillips and Azeez, if those were the top three edge guys in the draft, and that was my feeling, was those three were the top three. I thought Azeez was the best edge setter of the three. Really powerful in the lower half. I mean, he's really hard to kick out. He can set that hard edge. And then as a pass rusher, he's good with his hands. And when he clears that corner, like there is a little bit of straight line to him athletically. He's not the loosest body guy in his lower half. But with the hand use and when he can clear the corner, he can really get to he can suck down the quarterback. So, and when he gets there, he's disruptive. Like he's one of those guys that when he gets around the QB, he's got a knack for getting the ball out and really hammering a guy. So, you talk upgrading pass rush. I think he's going to do it immediately.
I know people don't talk about it, I don't think, enough, at least on the outside, but his combination of length, he's only 6'2", but he's got 34-inch arms, and then his hand usage, which I think for a player that was just a redshirt sophomore, for him to be able to use those hands the way he does, he has that little swipe move, he has the rip move. I just thought that was pretty advanced for a guy and allowed him, again, even though maybe he doesn't have that ankle flexion that you're looking for, as you know, for the top elite edge guys, it allowed him to win consistently around that edge, which is really what you're looking for in a pass rusher at that position.
Yeah, no, I mean, he is. They did a really nice job coaching him up there at Georgia because you use the word advanced. He is advanced with his hands. That's usually the step that a lot of college rushers have to make is what they do technically. And I think Azeez is ready that way. I think he's got a nice feel for setting things up. I think he knows who he is as a rusher. I think he knows what he can and can't do and how he can win. So yeah, that's why I think he'll be a factor right away.
All right. And finally, I know Gary Brightwell was not in Mobile for the Senior Bowl, but boy, we interviewed him after the pick. I've never heard a guy that was so excited about potentially playing special teams in my life. And knowing Joe Judge the way I do, it just seems like a complete match made in heaven for those guys.
Well, yeah, with Joe's background as a special teams guy, for sure. That's probably what made Brightwell be the pick there. And I will say this. Yeah, we didn't invite him to the Senior Bowl, but he was a guy like over the course of the spring and even like in December, really, he started to heat up, you know, around the league. When I call around to friends around the league to kind of set up the back end of the roster, his name came up quite a bit as a guy that people would like to see. It was just a really deep running back class. All of our guys went, you know, all of our running backs went pretty early. And, but he was right there. Gary's in the conversation. And because of what he can do on special teams, I would think he's going to make that 53-man roster.
All right, Jim, a couple more real quick, big picture stuff. You see now Dave Gettleman's building his roster. He's drafted a lot of guys that have been with you in Mobile for the Senior Bowl. Just your thoughts on kind of where the Giants are and where they're headed, given the way they've built their roster through the draft and with free agency the last few years.
Yeah, I mean, you have to really like the talent level and the youth on this football team. He's done a really nice job rebuilding this thing pretty quickly over the last two or three drafts. And I think you're going to start to see a lot of that come together. You know, we talked about Daniel Jones's development in his second year with the coordinator, but just look at the overall team in his second year with Joe Judge. And that's just not the players getting used to the coach. That's the other assistant coaches, you know, getting used to each other and being a group. I mean, these guys haven't all coached together before. So just the continuity and the chemistry that's building in the building, I think is going to be big moving into 2021 for the Giants. And I think that Dave has really built a good young football team. And again, when you're drafting guys coming out of the Senior Bowl, they're older, they're a little more mature. That senior year is big for a lot of these guys. They're captains, they're leaders on their football team in college. So they transition more quickly, typically. And I say that we did studies on this, the teams I worked with in the league. I mean, you get guys that have been seniors and been captains. It's just different getting that guy than a guy that's coming out early as a junior. Or like you said, Ojulari is a redshirt sophomore. This is an exciting team. I can't wait for the 2021 season and see what all comes together for them.
Yeah, it's going to be great. And it's funny, we've talked about these players in this year's draft class and how the Giants, they got two guys with, you know, late first round value in Tony and Ojulari. You can't argue with that, the first two picks. But then, Jim, you throw in the fact that they now have an additional first round pick, an additional third round pick, and an additional fourth round pick in next year's draft. It's going to be a bigger player pool. You're going to have more access to the players. No one's more in the weeds in this stuff than you are. Just try to explain to Giant fans why there's so much value in those additional picks in next year's draft specifically.
Yeah, it's a great point, John. You know, just in this year's class, there was, I think we hit at the very end of it, we had less than 700 players that were registered with agents for this year's draft. And that number the previous couple of years is like around 1,800, 1,900. So there's so many guys that took use of that extra year of NCAA eligibility because of COVID. I mean, we had eight or nine guys that accepted Senior Bowl invites that got talked back into going back to school by their coaching staff. Wow. So, I mean, right there, we've got a starting point for our game. It's going to be super competitive, and it's going to be a very, very deep draft. So what you know, you could turn that four next year into, you know, three sixes, or, you know, like you could even move off of, or you could turn that three into two fives and a six or something in a really deep draft. So it just gives Dave and his staff more ammunition to move around next year, trade back if they want to, or just stay where they're at and get a really good football player. So that's three really bad. You're talking about a 1-3 and a 4. I do a lot with that.
All right, finally, and I don't mean to put you on the spot, what are maybe one or two of the spots that you think will be very strong in next year's draft? Two positions that have been expressed to me are defensive end and cornerback. Is that your feel too? Are there any other positions that Giant fans should maybe start getting a little excited about with all this extra draft capital for next year?
You know, we just started to put our board up the other day. We took it down. You might've saw that on Twitter. Our scouting assistants took the board down and now we've put it back. We put it back up. They have been working on the 2022 class since the middle of February. And I haven't. I've had to stay on this draft with the ESPN stuff. So I haven't had a chance to dive in. I'm just trying to think of the board right now and what it looks like. I want to say linebacker's a pretty good spot. The interior D-line class is going to be better. It was really down this year, so interior D-line help is going to be there. But it's so early for me to say until I start watching these guys myself.
Awesome. Jim, we appreciate it. And tell all the folks, I know everyone thinks of Mobile and the Senior Bowl just as that one game at the end of January, but I know you guys are doing a lot of other stuff. Tell them where they can find you on Twitter and everything else that you guys are doing with the Senior Bowl.
Yeah, Twitter, I'm at @JimNagy_SB. I'm going to be starting posting a bunch of players on the 2022 draft here this month, and we'll go all through the summer. So you could go back a year and see my posts from on Ellerson Smith from last summer and Kadarius Toney from last summer. But we'll be doing that again this summer. And then we're having a great event on June 23rd and 24th. We're having our Hall of Fame event. We've got Cam Jordan from the Saints, the great Jaguar running back Fred Taylor, Reggie Wayne, the 8-time Pro Bowler from the Colts, Joe Staley, the all-decade team of the 2010s, the left tackle from the 49ers, and then Pat Surtain, the great Dolphins cornerback, are going in. And we're having a golf event the next day, our charity golf event that's going to go to Big Brothers Big Sisters. And one of our 25 celebs is Daniel Jones. So he's going to be down there. He's going to be at the Hall of Fame event. He's going to be at the golf event. So go on to SeniorBowl.com. You'll see the link for our golf event. We'd love to have Giants fans down. It's not a thing where you just go out and play golf with Daniel for 4 hours. You're going to have like 36 to 48 hours hanging out with these guys behind the scenes and at parties at night. It's going to be an awesome event. And in the lineup of celebs, I could go on and on. It's, the Archie Mannings, the Ozzie Newsoms, tons of Hall of Famers. So if Giants fans want to come down and hang out with their starting quarterback for a couple of days here in Mobile at a beautiful country club and play a great course, we'd love to have you down here.
Well, we look forward to it. Sounds like a lot of fun, Jim. We really appreciate the time, man. Try to get some rest before you dive into that 2022 draft class, please. I'm sure it's been quite a grind the last few months. We really appreciate all the time. You're very kind to us. You always talk to us once at the Senior Bowl, once before or after the draft. We really appreciate it. Stay safe down there. We'll talk to you soon, all right?
Yeah, John. Thanks. Have a great summer.
That's Jim Nagy, the executive director of the Reese's Senior Bowl, also a draft analyst for ESPN. We thank you for joining us on the Giants Huddle podcast. We'll see you next time, everybody.